it's like, is heaven heaven? Now we realize that maybe there's an intermittent heaven, and then there's going to be a new heaven, and so we're talking about that, and what happens, how we get there, and what we're going to be like when we're in there, and we talked about hell, the same thing, because there's also an intermittent hell, and we talked about how Abraham and the rich Lazarus speaking to each other about things. Yeah. So do you talk, are we talking to people in hell? I mean, there's a lot of questions. One sure. Questions and answers, there sure is.
Roberta?
Well, what I gathered from, I never really thought about
sure.
The intermediate heaven being a physical place until I read this. And so that got me to thinking about it. And so that made me start looking up some different scriptures about when Jesus was resurrected, he ate fish, he ate with the disciples. Also, it says when he died that other saints were resurrected when he died on the cross. It said after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And my question, it might be getting off base, but did those people die again, or did they go to heaven when he ascended to heaven?
I tell you, I have no idea.
You know what I'm asking?
Yes, I know what you're asking.
When they came out of the grave with you.
They would have lived forever on earth. I didn't know that.
Right. And if and then Lazarus that he raised from the dead in the tomb, not the Lazarus in here, but the other Lazarus.
He died.
He did die again.
He did die again, yeah.
So where does it come after death, the judge appointed a man to die once and after death?
Because I will get to that. Yeah, anyone else at the table? I'm going to get to the other table by the time.
He's avoiding my question.
No, I'm not avoiding your question and so on. So, go, your table, Erica and Debbie and Gage. Did you learn anything, Gage? Any questions yet? No? Okay.
He sometimes asks me questions during the week.
Well, I just wanted to sit. He's fine. He wasn't in trouble. I thought, why don't you sit there and see if you learn anything and ask any questions? So.
At least he's here. That's what matters.
Yeah.
Well, we just kind of went through the intermediate and the second, at the second coming, the dead will be taken out. Anyway, the time of judgment, everybody will be judged. But one thing that stood out for me is, you know, they're talking about God, God is spirit and heaven must be spiritual. But in chapter 6, in the beginning of it, it says God is spirit, but heaven is physical. Since God created heaven, he didn't always dwell there. So it has to be a place to dwell, an actual place, right?
But the discussion in the chapter talked about that, but it talked about what is called the intermediate or the present heaven. So when you die, where is your body? Where's your body?
Right.
Yeah. Either cremated or it's in the ground,
yeah.
Right?
Dust.
Dust. Your spirit, for your soul, goes where?
Either heaven
or wrong, right? And that's the first judgment. It's the judgment of
faith.
Faith, okay. So you're either in heaven or in hell in a spirit form. He doesn't say that it's a physical place. He argues that it could be.
Okay.
He says it was debatable, and he's trying to make an argument that that intermediate heaven could be, have some physical properties to it based upon the examples that he used. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What about the writing of Paul that he quoted, where he's clothed with the celestial body that he was quoting?
I'm just telling you what he said, that it was debatable, but he presented his argument for why he thinks it could be. You could be given a temporary.
That's what he was referring to.
This is not doctrine in this book. It's his conjecture and his take on it.
I would say that there's a lot of doctrine in this book, but there's also his conjecture too. Yeah. Because it's, you know. But what is doctrine is there is a, we think of heaven when we die, we go to heaven, right? And that's it.
Yeah.
Isn't that how we've always thought, and I have?
Yeah.
He opened our minds that it's the doctrine is that it's a, he calls it intermediate or present heaven, but that's where you go. But your final resting place, your final destination is where?
The new heaven and earth.
Is on earth.
Earth.
And a new heaven and a new earth with an eternal body. Okay?
It's not Santa Barbara.
Yeah, yeah. So, Erica, anyone else?
Rod, you have some good points
there. Rodney?
Yeah, I basically brought up, I was talking about the fact that heaven is physical. So, basically, that the dead will be raised incorruptible. It says in 1 Corinthians, and that those living during the return will be changed also in Corinthians. In Matthew, when Christ rose, some were raised bodily. And Thomas touched Christ's hands after he was resurrected, so he had a physical body. Christ was the example. He was the example for us for everything. Even in his resurrection, it's what we can expect to happen to us when we get resurrected. Revelations talks, it kind of reverses Genesis' ban for humankind to be able to eat from the tree of life. So, because it talks about the tree of life being in heaven and being on both sides of the river. So, we will eat after we're resurrected. Of course, Isaiah also tells us that there will be no hunger in the millennium, let alone in heaven afterwards. So, and also in Revelation, it talks about that. And the other thing that Job knew, that he would see God in the flesh after his skin was gone, was no more, is the way he put it. So he knew that he would be resurrected in the flesh. So all these just point to the physicality, the physical state of heaven.
And in Revelation 6, the souls are under an altar. So that's a physical thing.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say physical bodies, though.
No.
They are souls.
So the souls. Have bodies, and yeah. So don't have bodies.
They're dressed in white. So
in white robes of righteousness.
Okay, this group. Anything you want to add? Or do you want to know? What did you guys learn from the chapter? Lloyd took copious notes, so.
Yeah, it just raises confusion.
You got a page and a half.
Should make me think about the distinction.
Yeah.
Between like what happens right after you're gone, you die. I mean, yes, I have read different scriptures, but it does help to have them all kind of all in one place with somebody laying out some of the different scenarios. But that made sense to me, you know, that you know you do know right away where you're going. You're going to go to heaven or go to hell, but I found that pretty interesting. A lot of other things did raise a lot more questions. Made you think about the different possibilities. Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Anybody else in this group? You took a page and half of notes. You gotta say something, Floyd.
When next time I talk to my mom or my brothers that are getting close to leaving here, then I'm gonna say, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to the first heaven, and then afterwards you might go to the second heaven. You know, it's really difficult to talk to them. And
yeah, let me be clear. When you die...
When you die, you go to heaven.
You go to heaven. That's called... He's calling it what? Or the present heaven.
Right.
It's like a holding place. It's similar to Sheol. You know what that is?
Where Lazarus went.
That's when you die before Jesus Christ, the Old Testament saints stated in there. And Hades is where the unbelievers of the Old Testament went. So, what happened to Sheol? Well, when Jesus died, he led that group up into heaven. Okay? And so this is where all the Old Testament saints, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Mary, they're there. And then the New Testament saints are there. And that's where we are. Either in a spirit form or a physical form or some combination, whatever it is. But it doesn't matter. The point is, you're not in hell.
Right.
And that's the key point. That's the first judgment, the judgment of faith, okay? And he didn't get into it, he just tried to make an argument. I think he gets into it in the next couple chapters, 7 and 8, about what we'll be doing in that present heaven. That's your assignment, chapter 7 and 8, okay, for next week. But one thing that stood out to me, other than the distinction, was the fact that there, there's a consciousness. You're aware.
You're not asleep.
It's not soul sleep. You're conscious. And what were the people aware of? Some names that you can think of what he mentioned in the chapter.
He was aware of his brothers that were still on.
The parable that the man in hell was aware of. The rich man.
He wanted him to bring on the. They wanted him to go ahead and let's get going, and so that everybody could be. They wanted the final chapter to happen.
Would that be the souls that were saying, "How long, O Lord?"
Well, those are the martyrs that are in heaven.
Martyrs.
And they are.
They're a different group.
What are they feeling?
They want justice.
They want justice, don't they?
Yeah.
And so they're conscious and they're able to, I think, see what's going on in the world, and they want justice. Why would they want justice?
God is just.
They're made in him to God, and he is just. Okay, and now what happened to him was wrong. And they're still feeling the sting of that. And so that doesn't, I don't think that ever goes away. The wrongs that you suffer in this life, they're still with you. You forgive and you move on. And since God doesn't he will make things right
in the end.
And we're created in his image. There's that part of us that we know it exists. It's not that you're our seeking revenge and suffering for these people, but you just want justice to be done, things to be made right. That's a part of what it means to be righteous. You want a strong desire for righteous, for the right thing to be done.
When we get to that point, then we'll have the type of vengeance that God has, not man's kind of vengeance.
Yeah, vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Yeah, he's the only one that has righteous, and ours is all mixed up.
And so the man in hell was aware of his brothers who were alive. Okay, he also was aware of the Lazarus, right?
And Abraham.
Okay, now what does that mean for us? How do we exist, probably in spirit form at least, in this intermediate heaven? What does it mean for us in our relationships with people that are in heaven? We're going to know them. Okay? Like I said, when I die, if Ron and I die, I'm right next to Jesus, and I'll get binoculars out, and I'll look. See, there's Ron Lillian. Okay? And it'll take days for me to reach him, because he's so far away from Jesus. But he can come see me anytime. But the point is, I will know Ron, right? And you'll know me, I think it's one of the things we can see.
There better not be any of that going on in the world. I'm going to go talk to Jesus about it. Any of that stuff, right down here.
I don't know if in these chapters are read ahead or confused, but when he said, we'll be praying in heaven for those on earth, that skates very close to this whole purgatory Catholic thing, and where you pray to people and they, and it's like when people say, oh, mom's looking down on me from heaven, I never took that as, that's not scriptural. I really have a hard time with that kind of stuff because I was raised Catholic and that's what we're all about. And oh, Mary, all of that. And it's like, whoa, I don't know if it's a literal thing or not. That's going to be interesting. What do you think?
Can I ask a moral question? A morality question?
Are you going to answer her question or are you just going to go down to the
valley? Well, it's kind of in the same vein. It's on the same subject. Is it okay to tell a child a fabricated story to explain the moral truth?
Give me your example.
So, is it okay to make up a story about a bunny rabbit family to explain why you shouldn't hurt others? For example,
say a bunny rabbit story?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it is. A totally false story.
You like believe in Santa Claus? Tell a child that Santa Claus is real? And all that?
But something that does not lead them totally astray.
Okay.
But it's not the exact truth either, because they maybe would not understand the concepts that you're trying to explain to them, unless you put it in a way that they can understand it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're making up a story that gives the idea of what happens, because they couldn't really understand what really happens.
Like the parable.
Right. The reason why I'm saying that is because when you're talking about Sheol and the present heaven, to my way of thinking, those don't really exist. We just have a hard time comprehending that the moment that I die is the same moment that everybody else dies once you get outside of the arc of time. We're caught within the time, so to my way of thinking, Paul died 2,000 years ago. And
so are you rejecting that when we come with him, there's a new heaven and a new earth, and that's our final dwelling place?
I'm sorry, what now?
Are you rejecting that there's another heaven?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying that happens when we die. But when I die, outside of the arc of time is the same time that you die, and the same time that Paul died, and the same time that...
Okay, so outside of the arc of time, we die and
because it's eternity. There is no time.
Mm-hmm. But are we in eternity in the present heaven until the judgment when all time...
I think it when you die,
there is
you're
time
there
in heaven, because those souls
when
you're under
dying,
the altar. Yes,
I
understand. Souls under the altar in Revelation.
Yeah, they're waiting.
They're waiting. That is a sense of time.
That
they're
could be a story
for God's judgment.
To explain.
See, I think that's an explanation to from God for us to understand the direness and the need to get to the end of time. I think that, you see what I'm saying?
Well, because
I'm going to back Ron in this one, because we are waiting in heaven. And what are we waiting to do?
For the new heaven.
Those in heaven right now, they're present. What are they waiting for?
They're
waiting to come again with him, folks. So there is a time concept. But it is eternal as well. How that plays out, Rod, it's beyond.
That's
beyond me, okay?
And honestly, it's beyond all of us.
Right, so, right.
And I don't think you have, I don't think of it like purgatory. I mean, you know, I'm not praying for somebody that's already passed, like a living person praying for someone that's already passed.
Right.
If you're in that state of... You know you're going to heaven. You probably don't know who else is going to go to heaven. You may be able to know what's going on, and praying for people while you were in that state actually makes perfect sense to me.
I wonder if, and I got to close it, I wonder if it would be like, because you've heard this before, that I would think, well, where's my pastor? He died. I don't see him there. This guy is here, my neighbor. He did this, and this.
Yeah, he should be on that post office.
Okay, I would say, where's my wife? I have to go see her. So,
that's because
but you get the idea. You get the idea here. And so, one other thing real quick before we go. I need everybody's attention on this one, okay? This has nothing to do with, I want to give everybody a heads up. So I need everyone's attention. I feel like my mom as a teacher and so on. I couldn't believe this is true, but it is true. You have to the end of the month to use the coffee machine up there, because they're going to take it away.
What?
A combination of the fact of inflation, high costs, and it's not just us. There are seven other companies that there are removing machines because we're not ordering enough product. Okay? And so we're looking into other options. But, I said to the guy, I said, what kind of failed business model is that? He says, listen, I've argued with these people over and over again. But it is a result of inflation and everything else. And so they're removing it. It's like, they don't even sell a machine anymore, so I don't know what they're going to do with it. we could probably buy it. It's a $10,000 machine. We could buy it, but the reality of that, what they would charge us, and then the maintenance of it, when something goes bad, is astronomical. He gave me the name of another company that I can look into, see what the cost of that would be. But I just wanted to give you a heads up. So use up, they give us this extra month to use up the product that we have. Okay?
Okay.
So it is a sign of the financial times right now.
It was still down to the pot we used to use.
So, well, we didn't do the pot because we don't have a sink out there. This is so convenient. So, anyways.